Change of shift press briefing is scheduled to begin momentarily in the main auditorium. Air-to-ground Apollo 10 transmissions will be picked up at the conclusion of the press conference, and at 139 hours, 13 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.
Well, we're on our way back from the first lunar landing.
Jack Schmidt is, I think, planning to join us here, but we'll go ahead and get started now. This is Milton Wendler, the flight director for the Maroon shift. Clint Burton is the ECOM, and Joe Engel, capsule communicator. And I'll let Milt start with a summary of what went on the shift.
We did a trans-earth injection maneuver, and we're coming home. Would y'all really like more than that? That's really about all we did. We had a few fuel cell problems. Problem is perhaps not the right word. We had some unusual indications, but the fuel cells performed normally, and Glenn here didn't get the chance to get his little relaxation cycle in when it went behind the moon because he was busy playing back data and trying to work with his people to figure out what the situation was regarding the fuel cells, so he can answer any questions you might have on that. But it really didn't pose us any particular problem for the trans-earth injection maneuver. It all went okay. We saw lots of good pictures of the moon going away, which I thought were really more interesting than the Earth rise, for example, that was so popular after the Apollo 8 mission. If y'all saw the pictures that they took at this same time from that, it was, I thought, very, very spectacular. But it's downhill from here on in, we hope. We do have a quorum.
We are outnumbered after all.
But I think that summarizes it.
Okay, we can take your questions.
Right? Thereafter, the trajectory toward that cone in the sky. Can you summarize and talk about that just a little?
Yes, we the first hack at the mid-course correction that occurs some 15 hours after trans-earth injection was 1 foot a second, as you probably heard us read up on the air to ground. And this essentially corrects us back to the center of this corridor that you referred to. But we are now actually within the corridor. Or at least our first estimate is. You recognize, of course, that it requires several hours of tracking to build a representative vector. But as best we knew, the original trans-earth injection maneuver, it's within the corridor right now.
And Joe, would you comment on?
Hold on just a second.
He's asking, does that mean you wouldn't have to make a correction? Go ahead and continue the subject there.
Well. If the vector stayed just the way it is now, no, we would not necessarily have to make a correction. Well, let me put it this way. We're within the acceptable limits for the corridor. However, we like to get it better than it is now, and we fully expect to have to make a small maneuver.
Joe, what was your reaction, your feeling on the whole air-to-ground there from pre-TLI as they got up this morning and went about their work, and then the TLI and the TV? Would you just comment?
Well, you mean the crew's attitude? They seemed like it took them a while to get wound up and cranked up to speed. I think they had a fairly short evening, and I'm not sure how well they slept last night. I know whether they were a little anxious about today's activities since they were pretty important as far as getting home. But they seemed a little bit... not quite cranked up to speed for several hours until we started approaching the TEI res, and then they started coming right up to speed and got right with it. And then, of course, after TEI, they were just a bunch of babbling kids. You couldn't shut them off after they were on the way home and going away from the moon, and I could see why. It was pretty spectacular viewing from our end, and I'm sure it was even more so from theirs. Now I couldn't hardly get a word in edgewise. And had some things we wanted to get up to them and we couldn't hardly break in on that description they were giving us.
Could you tell us a bit about Snoopy and how near they got to? I'm afraid I did have a little sleep in the night, and I'm not quite sure how near they got, whether there was any real danger of collision, and what Snoopy's orbit's up to.
Well, presumably you mean half of Snoopy, the descent stage, since the other end of him is going off towards the sun. The crew reported they estimated it was around 10 miles. We really think it was somewhat further than that, but at the time that they reported it, but we really can't judge that. As you're aware, we have no tracking of the descent stage. I think it's fair to say that there never really was any real concern that they would that there would be contact. The orbital periods are such that every so often the Snoopy approach within it's cyclic, the approach is, and every so often it obviously comes to some minimum point and then it goes away again. And it happened on that particular rev, apparently, that this was the minimum point, which was about where we had figured it to be.
But this is further evidence that these mascons do mess around with the orbits a good deal, is it?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm sorry.
A mask on man, I could tell.
What is happening to that orbit, though, the descent stage? It's apothecene is going up and paracentesine going down. Is that right? Every rep now.
The orbit of.
Oh, the descent stage.
Of the descent stage. No, we don't really know that it's changing.
Do you have any
impact separation, of course, at staging, some velocity was imparted to it, which is very difficult for us to determine, particularly since there were some motions involved with the separation, as you're aware of. And it's very difficult to model that sort of thing. And we have no tracking of it at all. So we really have not a very good estimate of the long-term motions there. And I guess we don't really... there's a whole lot of different predictions about how long it'll stay there, but it's presumably not changing very much. It's not like around the Earth where the atmospheric drag ultimately slows it down.
Well, let's put this way. Is it going to be there in late July?
Probably. No, it's probably going to still be there.
Does anybody consider it a hazard to the lunar landing?
No, we don't think it is.
Come around here in front and then go back down on the side.
Okay. About the descent stage, if we can just talk about it for a moment. This mission was, 10 was drawn up to...
I'm sorry, would you restate the first part
yes.
of your question?
This concerns the LEM descent stage.
Descent?
Yes.
Okay.
Apollo 10 mission was drawn up to simulate 11 in very many ways, and I wonder if the orbit that the... 10 descent stages and is in fact the same orbit that a piece of the 11 hardware will wind up in. Can you nail it down a little closer than they'll be roughly in the same area? Now, I'm not talking about impact, but is it the same orbit, same inclination, etc.?
Yeah, we're going to have to hold on here for a minute. We've got a television transmission coming in from the spacecraft. We're going to have the release line for that.
Okay, we got it now.
Looks good.
You see the terminator coming on there. It looks like the moon is lopsided. John is holding the camera, Maine, and Gina's helping him focus on it. it's a beautiful view there. Over.
Yeah, Ray, it looks good from here, Tom.
Okay, how's your color look on it now, over?
On the marker here, we're seeing a green and white moon.
Well, green and white.
Yeah, it's green up near the Terminator and white near the other limb.
You must be talking about the cheesy part of it, huh?
Yeah, I guess you guys must have done that to it.
You might say something like that. Okay, again, just for correlation on the colors that we have, about the best area of that body that I can describe, it looks like a chocolate milkshake. That's about the best color of brown that I can describe. Over.
All right, Roger, Tom, we copy. Move that camera a little bit to the right.
Mm-hmm. We'll get it in with our monitor. Stand by one.
Okay, Dan, that's real good.
From here, Jack.
That's real good now, Gene.
And Houston, Ted, how does your color look, over?
Stand by one time. I don't know if we got true color in here.
Okay.
Our color is looking real good now, Tom.
Okay. Looking at the window, or the moon now, we backed off so you can see the shade or the shadow of the hatch window, so you get an idea what size it might be. If you can see any of the window frame at all, John's back off to the point where the moon is out through the hatch window.
All right, Roger. I can just make out the edge of the hatch window.
We just want to give you one last show to show how it started. The lighted part started to look oblong as we can move out and see the terminators start to continue to move out further and slow down. And it's been real great being able to show you this so you can share the same view that we have, over.
All right, Roger, Tom, and it looks real good, and I know the folks here at home are really enjoying the show. I bet you feel like you're really moving out.
That initial climb out was just fantastic, Jack. And like we were telling Joe earlier, it's a good thing we approached the moon from the other way, because if you approached it from this way straight going like that, you'd have to shut your eyes, over. And interesting for us to look at is, I'm just going to see what's going to be interesting for us to look at the TV films after we get back. Over.
Yeah, Tom, I know you'll enjoy that. The TV experts want me to tell you that your adjustment of the color camera for both exterior and interior is just perfect. Over.
Okay, real fine. Thank you. Okay, Houston, this is Apollo 10. We've been up about 21 hours, nearly 22 hours, and we think we'll go ahead and start set up for the sleep cycle and go ahead and start with the BTC attitude. And at this time, we'll go ahead and turn the TV off, and this is Apollo 10 signing off for the TV.
Roger, Tom. Thanks a lot for the TV show. It's a little early right around here.
Just for the record, I assume the way this burn went that you're still expecting nominal re-entry and splashdown times.
Affirmative.
Okay. How much fuel is there left?
Okay. Well, we had about 4,700 pounds, feet per second, delta V, when we started before we made the burn, and we used up 36. You got the pad there, about 3,600, so we must have around 1,000 left.
It looks good for splashdown for reentry.
Which means it could what?
It means that everything's okay as far as fuel is concerned.
Oh, yes. We don't need anywhere near that kind of fuel to make the mid-course. We're talking about 1 foot a second. We probably have, incidentally, around 100 feet a second or more in the RCS alone.
To go back to the descent stage for a minute, is it likely to wind up in the same path that 11's descent stage is likely to wind up in?
Three guys have asked me the same question, and I've tried to say that I don't know where it's going to be, but it's not going to be in exactly the same orbit as 11. And we are not. Yes, we do. Assuming 11 flies in a couple of months.
Let's go back.
Which hat are you going to wear?
Milt, isn't that descent stage about a 190 apocynteal orbit? At least that's what it started at. And that's quite a bit different from the 60-mile circular that Apollo 11 will get into. So it's in a completely different orbit as far as apogee, apocynteal, and paracynteal. Jack, I've got a question for you. The thing that puzzles me about the observations made in this flight is that they've...
Were you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh.
Jack
Smith. I'm a little slow this morning. It is morning, I think.
We all are. I drove down the freeway amongst all the boats. How can the Apollo 10 crew see so many browns and the Apollo 8 crew just practically deny it or deny color? That's been asked a number of times. And
I told them they were there.
No, I think if you look at the record in detail of the Apollo 8 crew, that they were talking browns too. Bill Anders, I know, in his photo briefing mentioned that you take a black and white photograph and put a little brown in it and you got the color of the moon. Or he said, print the color films with a little bit of brown. I vaguely remember one or the other guys, I don't remember which one, saying something like this, either during the transmission or just after. So I think that The advantage the 10 crew has had is a much longer exposure to the moon, and their exposure, their attitude profile, let them see the moon more in many cases than the 8 crews did. And the idea of browns, or you might say red, a reddish tinge to the moon, is not a new one. I mean, it's been apparent in some of the spectrometric studies done. I think the exciting thing is that the human eye shows its versatility and is picking out very subtle differences in these shades that we've had to use special filters on telescopes to see.
Are you going to let all three crewmen go to sleep at the same time, or is someone going to stay up to watch the fuel cell for the rest of the flight?
What's the answer to that, Clint?
They're going to go to sleep.
We talked earlier, I think, about maybe keeping somebody awake, and I guess the latest thinking is that all three of them can sack out. I'll let the orange team worry about that. They're working now.
Do you see anything in this flight now that would constrain the launching of 11 in July 16?
I don't know. If anybody else does or not.
Come on over here.
As a very practical matter, you're going to be coming back on tonight, and is that right? Will you be working the shift tonight and working through the Saturday night Sunday interface, which is a special case for newspapers? I wonder if you could tell us now, in the shift that you're going to work tonight, whether there is anything, any events that are planned that are any different than what's in the pre-published flight plan. You have any experiments or anything of the sort that would be coming up in the early hours of your shift tonight?
We talked about fooling around, if that's the right word, with this fuel cell, just vaguely. I guess everybody's attitude up to right now has been, let's go ahead and get out of the lunar orbit and get the TEI behind us and not worry about too many things. As you know, we're going to figure out someplace exactly the best place that is to put the lithium hydroxide canister. And we have always had in the back of our minds, I guess, that the 2 days coming back, we would kind of do whatever things seemed appropriate as on the way back. But there's nothing that I know of specifically specifically planned now.
These two right in here, I think. Gentlemen in the third row had one.
Oh. Are there any medical theories, please, about how they've managed to escape the space sickness so completely, whether it's due to the nodding exercises, or perhaps I wonder whether it's because they're always chewing?
I think you might have to save that one for one of the...
I'm sorry. Would you say again? I like to answer medical questions.
I'm the only doctor here. I always do this.
Okay.
Well, I'd be glad of any views on why they've escaped space sickness so completely, whether it's due to the nodding exercises. And I also wonder whether it's got any connection with the fact that all of them never seem to stop chewing.
I don't know anything about the chewing part. I feel like this crew started off more rested than perhaps the past crews did.
I'll vouch for that. No, that's the big thing. This crew peaked out in their training about 4 or 5 days before launch, and in addition to that, Tom had it pretty well organized so that the evenings were not a big rat race on checklists and this sort of thing. A lot of the training that in the landmark recognition and photography and things like this, which is relatively easy training with respect to physical or mental strain, was done in the evening. So I think that they just started out way ahead of the power curve, and they got real good night's sleep on the way to the moon, and this is the answer to staying healthy. And I don't know, this space sickness that you talk about, I'm not sure is really a real sickness. I think it's a question of individual susceptibility to spatial disorientation, and
you'll see other guys that will see it'll be a little dizzy, I'm sure, and many that won't. I wouldn't really label it as a special kind of sickness.
You have gathered a lot of data so far from Apollo 10. Have you set up your mind as to which site you're going to use for Apollo 11, or rather, do you have a favorite site?
Site number two is the one that's favored by most of the people.
Well,
okay.
It's unquestionably it's the only one right now. It's what we're that's what the crew's training to. No, it's it, no, I wasn't going to contradict you, Mel. It's site two is it right now? It's
site
a prime site.
It has been for some weeks.
That isn't to say we'd take advantage of our launch window and go to sites 3 and 4 if we should miss 2.
Well, they're part of the launch window, yeah. But the prime site is 2. That's the one we target to first.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much.
This is Apollo Control, 139 hours, 53 minutes ground elapsed time. Apollo 10 is now 7,160 nautical miles outbound from the moon, traveling at a velocity of 5,524 feet per second. During the last 15 or 20 minutes, there's been an accumulation of about 6 minutes of air-to-ground transmissions during the time the change of shift press briefing was underway. We're prepared now to roll back, roll that tape and listen to it, and we'll rejoin the conversation live as it continues. The crew is now powering down for the sleep period. Let's listen to the tape that is accumulated.
Houston, I'm just TTC. Do you want to establish 20-degree dead band at 1/10 of a degree to second, or you want to try this other thing?
John, this is Houston. We want the 30-degree dead band with 3/10 degree per second. Excellent. 3/10 degree per second.
Okay, set up just the way you did, set up just the way we did coming here, right?
That's affirmative, John, and when you get down to disabling jets, we want you to disable all jets in quad C and D, and we're standing here looking at the procedure if you want us to help you out on it.
Roger. Understand. Charlie and Dog?
That's affirmative.
Okay. Hello, Houston Apollo 10.
Go ahead, Ben.
Okay, Jack, looking ahead in the flight plan, what we'd like to do is make this a pretty long sleep period. I understand that the first mid-course occurs in 15 hours and was initially looked at about 1 foot per second, which shows we're right in the slot. And what we'd like to do is sleep in a little bit longer than what was outlined here, say, since you've been up for about 22 hours, over.
Okay, let's get these people to arrange that. Stand by, please.
Okay.
Tom, looks like we're planned to let you sleep in already, and the only thing that would possibly change that flight plan-wise is some P-23 activity, which we can postpone, or...
Okay, well, all of us are kind of bushed out now, just a little bit tired from doing all this today. And John, particularly, he's really worked hard on the landmark tracking eyeballs from the source. So if we could postpone that for a little while and just sleep in, we'd sure appreciate it, over.
Sure, we'll work that out. And we want to ask you if you've been getting any caution warning on fuel cell, too, recently.
The cyclone's still there, but it hasn't cycled into the caution warning region.
Roger. It turns out that the purge fuel cell, too, didn't change anything, and we're trying to work something out, so this won't be bothering you during the time you're trying to sleep, over.
Okay. Okay, apparently the package or the pump or whatever cycling doesn't bother you down there, huh?
Well, the exhaust temperature is getting down near the caution and warning limits. It hasn't gone over them yet, but we thought if they started doing it, why it was going to bother you, and we were trying to figure out something else.
Yeah, I know, but my question is, your analysis of what's causing the cycle, maybe the pump's going on and off, or there's a temperature sensor that's out of balance or something. Whatever you think it might be, it isn't bothering you, huh?
Gene, we're just taking a look at fuel cell, too, and we're analyzing what it's doing, but it, at the moment, is of no excessive concern. Over.
Okay, thank you.
Apollo 10 Houston, we have a pre-sleep checklist here for you. A few items to turn off when you're ready to copy, over.
Okay, Jack, go ahead.
Okay, your optics power switch off. Your SCS electronics to ECA. And using Omni for PTC, go to Omni and Bravo. Your high gain antenna track manual, portable water heater off, high gain antenna power off, your rotational controller power direct both off, and on your cryo tanks, we want all cryo fans off, and on the heaters reading on your switches from left to right, your H2 tank 1 heater off. Your H2 tank 2 heater auto. Your O2 tank 1 heater auto. And your your O2 tank 2 heater off. Over.
Okay, on the heaters, I got 1 H2 is off, 2 H2 is auto, 1 O2 is auto, 2 O2 is off, and all my fans are off.
That's right, you got it right.
And let's see, you gave me rote power, portable water heater, high gain, the manual power off, will be an Omni BSPS electronic DCA, and optics power off.
Right, you got them all.
Going on the internet this time.
Roger. Apollo 10 Houston, we'd like to have you confirm that you're now in the 20-minute wait period with jets on quad Charlie Dog disabled. Over.
Houston, we're getting there. Where are they yet?
Okay, Jan, just trying to help you out a little bit. Know you guys are tired.
Yeah, I know it. We're getting there. Okay, Houston, we're starting a 20-minute wait.
Okay, John. Apollo 10, Houston, we see your state vector so good it doesn't need any updating, so we'll delete that. I'd like you to ensure that your 8-2 purge line heaters are off, and we've noted that your DAP is in auto and it should be in free for the 20-minute wait period, over. Correction, it's in free and it should be in auto for the 20-minute wait period, over.
We got that, Jack, and heaters were off. Thank you.
Apollo 10 Houston, we're going to hand over to Madrid here momentarily, and you might get a little noise on account of that.
Okay, Houston, would you believe that now we're starting a 20-minute wait period?
Roger, I know. We're getting there.
My only problem is I may fall asleep before the sleep period.
This is Apollo Control. That concludes the playback of the accumulation of tape from the Apollo 10 transmissions. The crew is settling in for sleep. Any further conversation before they finally do drop off to sleep will be played back. And as much as it's impractical to try to stay up live, not really knowing when they will start talking. And at 140 hours, 4 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. Elapsed time. The crew of Apollo 10 is apparently settled in for a long, well-deserved rest period after being up for approximately 22 hours. Had a very successful trans-Earth injection burn, powered down the spacecraft, and are now in the passive thermal control mode, the so-called barbecue mode of stabilizing spacecraft temperatures. They're now some 10,729 nautical miles outbound from the moon, coming back toward this speck of cosmic dust we call the Earth at some 5,328 feet per second. And the situation is rather quiet here in the control room, looking at playback data from the trans-Earth injection burn. And at 141 hours, 2 minutes, ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. Apollo 10 crew is apparently asleep at the time. We've had no communications from them within the last hour or so. Some numbers on distance. Earth reference distance is now 198,243 nautical miles. Velocity 4,780 feet per second. Flight surgeon just reported to the flight director that Commander Tom Stafford is apparently in a rather deep sleep, according to the biomedical readouts. some other numbers now on the current predicted entry interface. 191 hours 48 minutes ground elapsed time, with splashdown about 14 minutes later at 192 hours 2 minutes, just 2 minutes over 8 days even. This would be 11:51 Central Daylight Time. These numbers likely will change as additional tracking is brought in and processed through the computers here in Mission Control Center. Major events today will be include another television transmission at 152 hours 35 minutes ground elapsed time. The accuracy of the trans-earth injection burn was such that the first mid-course correction burn number 5 at TEI plus 15 hours is estimated to be only 2.6 feet per second. Here again, this may be allowed to accumulate to a later mid-course correction scheduled time. At 142 hours, 3 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 143 hours, 1 minute, ground elapsed time. Apollo 10 crew still sleeping soundly at this time. Spacecraft now being tracked at 195,441 nautical miles from Earth and coming back at a velocity of 4,768 feet per second, which will continue to decrease until the spacecraft reaches the so-called moon sphere of influence, or actually back into the Earth sphere of influence, at which time it will begin to accelerate again. No other new information to report at this time. The wake-up time will be probably around 1:30 this afternoon, Central Daylight Time. We're showing now an entry countdown clock of 48 hours, 46 minutes, 43 seconds. However, this time does not show any mid-course correction maneuvers. If any mid-course corrections are made, this time will be changed somewhat. And at 143 hours, 2 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 144 hours, 1 minute, ground elapsed time. Apollo 10 crew still asleep at this time with some 4 hours remaining of their sleep period. Spacecraft now 192,621 nautical miles from Earth, traveling at a velocity of 4,771 feet per second. Here in Mission Control, there's a sudden increase of the odor of delicatessen food, pastrami, bagel, and so on. Assistant Flight Director Ed Findell has just brought in a great amount of food for flight controllers to have a midday snack. All quiet otherwise here in Mission Control. People mainly studying the data from the trans-earth injection burn. Still tracking through the Madrid station. A line projected from the center of the Earth out through the surface to the spacecraft puts the spacecraft approximately over Central Africa. And at 144 hours, 2 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.